Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the rulers of the kings of the earth. Amen. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this reading is the text for this sermon is the epistle reading. Please be seated. On this day, granted it's not a major festival in the seminary's life, but on this day we celebrate both St. Michael and All Angels, and also the placement of fieldwork students with their fieldwork pastors. Today, God begins to answer the prayers of the church. They've been praying to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field of souls. Now he is sending you to assist his ministers, his angeloi, pastors called to preach the good news. May God bless you as you learn, grow, and share the good news in the midst of a dying world, and show mercy to all for his sake. Today, the church year turns to meditate on the end of days. The Feast of Holy Michael and All Angels calls attention to God's great messengers, who rarely cross our minds. We thank God for them, for their protection, that they provide, and for their support in our labors to seek the lost and strengthen the found with the gospel. They have been and will continue to be at your side this day and all your days. In our culture, however, angels are not very well understood. We like to make them into our own image. Think about all the cute little cuddly angels that you hang on Christmas trees, or silver ornaments that you put in your home to remind you of the angels. All of them have wings. All of them seem to be either female or feminine looking. All of them seem to be cute and cuddly as a little cherub, the babies with wings that we hang on the trees as well. Sometimes we make them out in our culture to be a little bit of something else. As exalted human beings, you might say, think about the TV shows, especially Touched by an Angel and some of the other ones, where the only thing a little bit different about these angels is that they're a little bit more sanctified than the average Christian. In our culture, angels are made to twist and to turn to fit into our own things so that they can kind of be harmless, as something that if we like them, they can come to our aid, but if we really don't want their presence, like if we have a few things that we really don't want them to see, then we treat them as if they really aren't all of that much of a problem, as if they were just little things that hide out in the corner and are there only when we want to celebrate some kind of anniversary or special offering or some other kind of event in our lives. We tend to think of them to be only as kind of maids or butlers to call upon when we need them to come running to our assistance to bring the more daily equivalent of a room service to us, to bring us goodies, to see to it that we don't fall into harm, and otherwise to just kind of be out of the way and in the corner until we need them again. We tend to think of them as only there to give us what we really want to have in life. But real angels are very different from that. They are not the cute little cuddly things that we put into our lives. Instead, they are deathless spirits. Holy and powerful, more powerful than anything that we could conceive of. They execute the judgments of God, are present to battle his enemies as Michael and his angels battled the forces of Satan and threw them out by God's design from heaven itself. They are the ones who fight day and night with demons and with Satan here on earth, now that he is here prowling around looking with hatred to bring us down with him. They are the ones who, on the day that Gabriel's trumpet is sounded, will go forth and gather all the wicked from all the ends of the earth and cast them into the lake of fire. They execute God's judgment and their presence, when we see them in the scriptures, absolutely every time brings fear. There's almost a script. Angel appears, people fall on their knees, angel says, "Do not fear, get up." And that's for good reason. These are not trivial creatures. They are God's instruments to carry out his will. And if there is no faith in our hearts, they are something to be indeed feared, for they will be the ones, like the fabled angel of death, who will carry us to our eternal damnation or eternal salvation, depending only on the faith of Christ. And so, maybe we'll smile a little bit when we'll see what our culture does with angels, but it is very good to remember who they really are, because it is only when you have faith in an angel that is greater than the angels can you be saved from God's wrath and the wrath that God will execute through them. For it is that angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord himself, who came a sacrifice that paid for our sins. He who announced his name to Moses as Yahweh, he who said to Abraham, "Do not sacrifice your son, for I know that you love God and only God," he who went to the cross for us, the angel of the Lord is the one who pays for our sins, even for the sins of treating his messengers as if they were trivial and unimportant to our lives. Because the angel of the Lord came and went the way of the cross to be the Lamb who was slain, who now reigns upon the throne, because he bore all our sins there, we now are free to be his children. And as his children, to answer his call when he says, "Who will go for me?" to say, "Here I am, send me." His angels now rejoice. First, when we were found in the waters of baptism, later, as in each step along the way, the Holy Spirit has continued to work in our lives, those angels rejoice now as he begins to send us again out to his people, to be his messengers, his angeloi, to bring to them the sweet message of salvation in Christ Jesus. As we go forth into this world, Satan not being happy and he and his angels being arrayed against us, the angels themselves are there, though we do not see them, blocking Satan at every path, making sure that nothing but nothing can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. They are there as our constant companions, and they rejoice when we find one who is lost, who by the power of God's word have been changed to be Christians themselves. It is they that guard and protect us every step of our way. We are now also his angels, by the way. We are given commission to be his messengers, to bring the gospel of the Lord to the ends of the earth and to those in our care, to labor as they do, so that others may be called into his kingdom. And when they respond to the precious gospel, to rejoice with the angels in heaven that another one who was lost has now been found, and who was blind now sees. And when the day comes, when we draw to the end of our mission here, when the last task that the Lord has assigned us has been completed, we will be brought home, you guessed it, by these very angels to God's own side, where we will join our voices with the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with them, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen." And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Amen.